filmmaker Steven Spielberg, public radio host Terry Gross. We think of these people as accomplished, distinguished even. Bah, says Curtis White. They're examples of what he calls the middle mind, and he doesn't think much of it. White is an English professor. He's just written a book, The Middle Mind, Why Americans Don't Think for Themselves. Here's Madeline Brand with a day-to-day interview.
Let me just read a passage from your book where you define the middle mind.
Okay.
You say, the middle mind is pragmatic, plain-spoken, populist, contemptuous of the right's narrowness, and incredulous before the left's convolutions. It is adventuresome, eclectic, spiritual, and in general agreement with liberal political assumptions about race, gender, and class. It supports the local public broadcasting station, supports the symphony, attends summer Shakespeare festivals, and writes letters to state representatives encouraging support for the State Arts Council. What is wrong with that?
Well, I think the point that I try to make is that finally this fiction that I've created, this heuristic called the middle mind, is deluded about its ultimate political purposes. So when, for example, in the particular instance that I spend a lot of time on, which is Terry Gross's program, she interviews artists too frequently, the interview makes a turn to the personal. It doesn't have anything to do to reveal how art functions in our culture. I think that's the sort of thing that we need. We need programming that actually reveals the social function of art, not that would claim to be a serious program about novels and novelists that finally become simply a kind of autobiographical inquiry into the personal details behind the fiction.
But that's just your preference. It doesn't necessarily make it better or worse than the preference of hearing a biographical approach to the art. In other artist's motivations were.
I don't think so. I think that's only interesting to tabloid minds. I'll just leave it real blunt like that for you. I don't think there's anything in that involves an interest in art.
I wonder if you're not saying the same things, but from the left, that conservative cultural critics like William Bennett have been saying for years that popular culture is morally bankrupt.
I think there's something to the idea that my critique of academia shares some features with the right. I also critique cultural studies and what passes for political activism in the academy pretty stringently in the book. But I think that you could say that my critique is a critique of liberalism from the left. I think that's a fair thing to say.
And in so doing, are you not opening yourself up to charges that you're being an elitist?
Well, I think that a lot of people will think so, and if you were to say so, you wouldn't be the first to say so. I would say, though, that some people might say that I'm an elitist because I believe in thinking, and I believe in the power of ideas. And I believe in the difference between intelligence and stupidity. And I would have to plead guilty to that. But I hope that's not what people mean by elitism. The challenge I think that the book poses is, if you're going to create an argument that's more powerful than my argument, then you have to create a reading of these things that I look at that's more powerful than my reading. And I'll submit to that.
What to you is great art? How would you define it?
What I try to do is think aesthetically, that is to say, to think about what is the difference between art and something that's not art. And for me, something that is art functions what I would call utopically. And the function of art is to create a space at a distance from the dominant culture, from which we can look at the dominant culture. And that, to me, is also a way of describing why I claim that the American imagination is impoverished, because that utopic function is lacking.
Well, I wonder if this is just another critique of capitalism. The market economy inevitably subsumes what is new, radical, dangerous, and then tames it. But there are always some great and unexpected things poking up through.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I absolutely agree with that.
And that means that the American imagination, as you say, is not bankrupt, that there is art happening, and that constantly things are being reinvented.
Oh, I have no problem with that. I do not wish to make absolutist or blanket statements. What I say is that the American imagination is impoverished. I think that utopic function that I described is underutilized. It's not sufficiently present within the culture. A healthy culture will have a balance between the ideological and the utopic.
Curtis White, author of the new book, Middle Mind, Why Americans Don't Think for Themselves. He was interviewed by Day Today's Madeline Brandt.